saying it's not on. Uh-oh. It's not on. Hello and welcome to Calvary Chapel of Chapel Hill. I can't talk like that for the whole time. No? All right. Huh. Are the speakers on? All right. Okay. Well, we're going to keep going. We're doing it. Welcome and good evening, everyone. And it's reminding ourselves that, I'll put on the operatic voice for the evening. Reminding ourselves that tonight we're going to go into the Word of God. And it is such a gift when we think about what we get to do midweek, because we get to kind of, if you think about your walk each week is a gas tank, you don't want to get to empty, right? It's not fun if you get to empty. I was thinking about this morning. I was like, if you get to empty, then you're stuck on the side of the road and you got to figure it out. And yeah, smartphones, but you're still stuck. So what is it to think, okay, maybe you're at a half tank, maybe you're three quarters tank, maybe you're a quarter tank, wherever you are. And if you're empty, it's okay. Stay, don't leave. But wherever you are, realize that when we go into the Word of God, when we gather, that when we gather as we're doing tonight, we have the opportunity to refresh ourselves, to fill ourselves up, to dig into the Word in a different way, and to come and say, Lord, give me open eyes, not to come the way you always do, but check your gas tank and say, Lord, let me just be open. What do you have for me right now? What is it that you're trying to say? What is it that you're trying to teach me right now so that I can grow into what you want, into what you need? Okay? He's on the phone trying to get the sound working, so I'll talk even louder. So one of the questions I want us to think about, Sunday was Resurrection Sunday, right? Are you cherishing his resurrection power? Are you done thinking about the empty tomb because it's over? Maybe you took down your decorations. It's something we've got to think about over and over and over and daily. And when we look at where we were in Scripture, brothers and sisters, this Sunday, to also remember he's coming. He's coming for his bride. He's coming. How beautiful. So to remind ourselves of this, I shared a prayer. Pastor David has made it safely to India. Was one of the easiest entries he's had. Praise the Lord. So that's good because there were some folks who were having difficulties getting in. Be praying for safety. As I shared earlier, there's some violence that was going on between the Muslims and Hindus in Kashmir, which is same region where he is. So just be praying for safety, which we are doing, but continue to be praying for safety because the reality is there's full walking in the obedience of what God has called him to do, Dan to do. They're being obedient. Michelle and Ava, there's an obedience there because I can tell you now, year and a half in this, if my wife wasn't the way she is, I don't know how I would do it because if there's that, why are you doing this? Why? I can't imagine. So it's a blessing and there's obedience in all parts. So let's continue to keep them in prayer. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for bringing us together in your house, Lord. Father, we thank you for how we can cherish the cross every single day, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you so much, Lord God, for this time. And Father, technology can do what it wants, but it's not going to stop us. Nothing's going to stop, Lord, from going forth with preaching the Word of God. And Lord Jesus, we pray the same for Pastor David and Dan. And as in the midst of this trip, Lord, use them mightily for your glory. Father, protect them. We ask for your safety upon them, Lord. And Father, we ask too to protect the seeds that are planted. Till the soil that the seeds will fall on and protect it, Lord. That this trip bears forth the fruit that you want. That you, Lord, are exalted. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. So last week we were in Psalm 67, and if we looked at this, it was a fitting psalm, and where we are landed in Psalms, it's nice to be focused on praise in the midst of the weekend that we just had. And within Holy Week, we were looking at a psalm that gives us that reminder for thanksgiving. What is it to give thanksgiving unto God? What is it to look for God, be merciful to us, bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us? Starting with his mercy, then his blessings, and his face shining upon us. We saw once again the importance of Israel within this psalm. We looked at Genesis 12, 1 to 3. We've been turning there a bunch because it keeps coming up, because we have to remind ourselves of the covenant that the Lord God made through Israel and the blessing that we receive from that. In this psalm, too, we were looking at the joy of his return, because it pointed to that joy of his coming. We saw, too, the desire for who to come to him? All. And remember, we sat and thought about that all for a little bit. We have that first Selah in the text when you look at it, where it's about his mercy, it's about his blessing, it's about his approval alone. And then that second Selah, it's about his return. It's about all coming to know him. And that's where the charge came in. How did you do last week? Praying and pondering and seeking to live in those two areas. Seeking his mercy, seeking his blessing, seeking only his approval, seeking and praying that for the body of believers. How are you doing looking towards his return and being excited about that? The charge is, I remind you, the Lord lays, I pray, what do you want to be there? Because it's a way to propel us to be doers with the word of God. I think too often we go to church, we sit, we listen, and you might take some notes. Maybe you don't ever go back to the notes. Maybe you don't think about what the Lord did. This prayerfully gets you going back, looking, praying, thinking, talking to the Lord. When we looked at that all, we also were challenged to ask yourself, what part of all is the Lord asking me to reach? And also, likewise, flip side, what part of all are you ignoring? Because we talked about, imagine different scenarios of who could walk through the doors of the church. Are you ready and say, all? Or is there kind of a certain setup that you'd like? This color hair, that financial status, whatever it be. Does all mean all? That's something we've got to wrestle with. And then that reminder to pray for Pastor David, to pray for Dan and this trip. So as we look to this first bit, God be merciful to us, bless us, cause his face to shine upon us, I remind us that we find that, and it comes up in Numbers. And if you turn there, Numbers chapter 6, and we're going to, Pastor Jeff kind of took a little arranging of the oldie and a new one, and he made a fusion together, which we're going to just sing right now. But thinking of these words, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. This is how you bless them. Say to them these things: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. And think of this name we're going to see tonight in the psalm that we're going through. This idea of the name keeps coming up for us as a body right now. Thinking of the name of God, the names of God, the name of Jesus. And what is it to extend that blessing? So we're going to sing this and let it be a time to pray this and think, maybe there's someone here that you want to think of while you're singing this and thinking of them and pray for them in your heart. Maybe there's a stubborn family member, and you could put them on your heart in this. For the body of believers here, what a way to fix our hearts before we dig into the word on that blessing, on the name of the Lord. The Lord, can you give it, there we go. Thank you.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. Be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. 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 The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. Be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Upon thee and give thee peace. Upon thee and give thee peace.
Heavenly Father, that is our prayer tonight, Lord Jesus. And Father, as we sang those words, Lord, I particularly think of the people of Israel, Lord. Father, may they realize who you are. May they come to fully surrender, Lord. Father, help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to let that be our prayer for one another, for this body of believers, Lord, at prayer as we look to unity, Father God. Help us, Lord, to pursue that for your glory, Lord. And Father, I ask right now, put any distractions aside and help us, Lord, to prepare our hearts to focus now, Lord, on your word alone. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Such a blessing to have this guy with us, isn't it? Such a blessing. So, Psalm 68, the title of tonight's message is Praise His Faithful Ways. Praise His Faithful Ways. And tonight we're going to be doing a little introduction to this psalm, and we'll see how far we get in this psalm. But when we look at this, it's a victorious hymn, it's a victorious psalm. This is a song of praise. This is a song of praise to God for His might, for God for His goodness. And we're going to see here that this psalm, guess what it's celebrating? God's continued care and protection for his people, Israel. Are you getting a recurring theme as we go through the psalms here? Israel matters. It's God's people. And then we are grafted in the midst of it. But it's the psalm just lays this all out as we go through it. As we go through the psalm, you're going to see so many, if you look at the Hebrew text, names of God come up. Elohim comes 23 times, Jehovah, Jah, Adonai, Shaddai, throughout this psalm. All the different names of God. And when we get there, we'll look at that. We'll spend some time, but reminding ourselves the same way we saw the name in number 6, the character, the nature of God. That idea, write the name, my name on the people of Israel, his character, his nature. That's what we are seeking. And that's what we, the body of believers, we're called to pray that. Because we know when we look at Peter's words and others, we're a priesthood for the Lord God Almighty. So we're called to do this. So look, as we go through this, you'll see that. You'll also see in this psalm a messianic pointing to the ascension of Christ. You'll see that take place here. And when we think about this, remember when we started Psalm 65, I mentioned the next four psalms are going to be a little bundle of praise, right? These four psalms that go through praise. And it's interesting because within each one, as we've gone through, there's the pointing to praise from God's people, Israel, and there's a pointing to everything to come. And it's fascinating because as I continue this study through Psalms, I'm like, we got to write a little separate book that's Psalms. It's a lens for all scripture because it hits, these Psalms hit everything, every single thing as we go through it. And again, we're praising this Psalm for his faithful ways, his faithfulness in the past, his faithfulness in the present, his faithfulness in the future. Now, historically, most scholars point to this psalm being one that would have been sung by David when he's coming with the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And we know when the specifics aren't mentioned there, there's many that land there. And it's, again, celebrating God's faithfulness. And that bringing of that Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem would be a big deal because guess what? That would celebrate God's faithfulness for all of the wins that took place to take down the enemies. All of those wins that took place. And it would also mean thanking God for his faithfulness to allow Jerusalem to be safe enough, secure enough to bring the Ark of the Covenant there. So turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 6. I just want to have us look at a little portion of this. Can folks hear me okay? I know we don't have the sound, so I'm trying to. Can you hear me in the back? All right, good. So 2 Samuel 6, and if we look at verses 11 to 15, the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. That's an important thing for us to remember. This family, Levite, family of Korah and Kohath, tribe of Levi, that God commanded to carry and care for the ark in Numbers 4. And then we see that obedience take place, and what does the Lord do with that obedience? Blesses it. Just that reminder to us of the Old Testament relationship to obedience and blessings and curses. There's a call for obedience. So we see here now, verse 12. Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belonged to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. And this is a big rejoicing we're going to see here. This is an excessive sacrifice that he takes place here. There's an atonement taking place. There's a consecration taking place. There's a longing for the fellowship with the Lord God Almighty. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David wearing a linen ephod, the garment that would be worn by the priests. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. And we could go on and then we'd have a whole other message. So we're not going to keep reading. We're going to stop there. But just to remind ourselves of this rejoicing that's taking place, of this sacrifice that would take place. And in David's rejoicing, I want to point something out because it's all his might. It's an exciting place. We're not to be void of emotions. Emotions can't be at the center, but they also can't be neglected. Right? But there's a moment where this comes through. And there's this rejoicing, and this rejoicing is what we see in Psalm 68. And it's a rejoicing giving praise to the Lord God Almighty. And as we get to our fourth psalm in this bundle of praise, how is your praise? Truly, I ask that question, how is your praise? What'd you sing to the Lord today? What'd you sing to the Lord today? What thanksgiving did you give the Lord today? And that's a real thing to ask ourselves because we should be singing to our King. We should be praising our King. Don't let the only time you sing be here. Granted, it's a very fun body to sing with, But don't make it the only time you're singing. Be singing to the Lord. Sing in the car. Sing at the grocery store. Sing praise unto the Lord. Yeah, sing at the grocery store. Now, here's an interesting thing. There's two things from church history that I just want to share from this particular psalm. So one, there's an Italian preacher and activist that was around during the time of Florence. And when I sang in Florence, I actually got to hear this story. But it's Savonarola. No, let me say his name right. Savonarola. Savonarola. And he preached against the corruption of the Romans. He was preaching against the corruption, and he was focused on it's got to be biblical truth. The government didn't like that very much. And it turned out that he was condemned, hung, and buried, and burned. Sorry. And in it, tradition says, he and the other Dominican friars that this took down and this took place when were singing Psalm 68 to their death. It's an interesting thing to think about. Within the Anglican liturgy, this is assigned to Pentecost, this particular psalm. And their reasoning there is because of the Holy Spirit, the ascension that takes place. And Paul, we're going to see, quotes some of this in Ephesians chapter 4. This is a psalm, as I was going through it and reading it and looking at it, it was one. It's like, Lord, show me, what do you want for your people from this text? And there was an interesting quote I came across from a British theologian and Bible scholar, Adam Clark, on this psalm. I know not how to undertake a comment on this psalm. It is the most difficult in the whole Psalter. So we're not going to study it. No, I'm kidding. But as we go through this, we're going to see his might. We're going to see his strength. We're going to be reminded why we praise. Look for his faithfulness and care for his people Israel. We're going to be reminded of him leading them in the wilderness and the inheritance that they have. We're going to be reminded of the victory in Christ over war. We're going to be reminded of the tender care God has for the individual. It's something we forget sometimes, that God meets each of us individually. And we're going to see again his heart that all come to worship him. Now, as we go through this homework assignment, because we're going to be in this psalm for 2 weeks, hopefully just 2 weeks, we're going to see allusions in this to Deborah's song in Judges chapter 5. And again, that's a moment where God has overthrown the enemies of Israel, and there's a deliverance, and there's a celebration. If you look at verse 4 of this, and then verse 3 of chapter 5, you'll notice some similarities. If you look at verses 7 and 8 of this psalm, and 4 and 5, go through. And even if you want, print them out side by side, little fun challenge, and just see the different ways that that praise goes to the king. God's mighty act on behalf of Israel is what takes place there. So when we think of the faithfulness of God, question for you, how often do you ponder God's faithfulness? How often do you ponder God's faithfulness? Where do you look at it in Scripture? Where do you look at his faithfulness in your own life? And as you do that, as you explore that, do you praise? Do you give praise unto our King? So let's dig into this text. So we see to the chief musician, which we know we've looked at, a psalm of David, a song. And David begins, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let those also who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly." So we see David in this victorious moment, right where it starts. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate him flee before him. So when this gets started, if we look at Numbers, turn with me to Numbers chapter 10, because it's interesting to think of where our David starts here. It's this victorious moment. He's recalling the song of Moses. Look at what we read here. So if we look at our text, we have, "Let God arise, Let his enemies be scattered. Let those alone who hate him flee before him. And then see what we see here in Numbers 10:35. So it was, whenever the ark was set out, that Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you." Isn't it fascinating? In this moment of excitement, of the deliverance that takes place, and the battles that have been won, that the ark can come into Jerusalem, in this historical moment, he goes to this time of God's faithfulness prior for the people of Israel. Because when they departed Mount Sinai, what do we see in verse 33 of where we are in Numbers? So they departed from the mountain of the Lord on a journey of 3 days, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them for the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was above them by day when they went out from the camp. It's this idea of God going before them. God, go before us. So as he's going right now and celebrating this victorious moment, the Ark of the Covenant is coming to Jerusalem. Let God arise. God, go before us. Saints, do you pray for his glory, his strength to go forth for you? Do you pray that? Because that's an important thing to do. We just celebrated Resurrection Sunday. Walk in the resurrection power. Lord, go before. In both of these instances, with Moses, with David, we see a spirit of confidence in God. Where's your confidence? Is it in the same place? David gets this idea, God, arise. And when God arises, what takes place? Let his enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate him flee before him. This isn't a simple God rises and his strength and glory comes, and it's kind of, they're like, no, scattered, flee. That's moving out quick. As smoke is driven away, that's vanishing. As wax is melted. And then notice what he says, so let the wicked perish at what? The presence of God. It's a reminder, God's enemies have no ability to stand against him. And guess what takes place for them? Disaster. And guess what takes place for his children? But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. And this isn't a rejoice, ha ha, look at you, you're suffering. No, it's a rejoicing at God's divine judgment, at God's supreme authority. So we see God's rise in judgment on the wicked, kicking off the hymn of praise. And then we take this now, these few verses, in the context of where we are as a body of believers, and think of what we pondered this last Sunday. It is finished. It is finished. And when we remind ourselves of his death and his burial, and it is finished, we go to Matthew 28. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." He is risen. The greatest moment in Scripture where we see this call, "Let God arise," take place, is the resurrection. Let God arise. Because think about the resurrection power. Death defeated. Wrath taken. Satan, no power. Defeated. Crushed. Curse broken. Let God arise. Let God arise. Think of what we saw this weekend when we reminded ourselves in Isaiah 59. And he has the armor because no one's there. So he's going to send his own. No one stepping unto obedience. The Lord Jesus Christ comes. And then when we think and remind ourselves, turn with me to Ephesians 6, and there'll be a dive on the armor of God on May 4th. So get excited for that. But when we look at Ephesians chapter 6, let's just remind ourselves of this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Notice where we are to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Where does this psalm of praise start when the Ark of the Covenant's going into Jerusalem? Let God arise. God's going to scatter out the enemies. And saints, for us as children of God, as us as believers, there's an application we need to take on with the armor of God. Because with the armor of God, we can now do something. We can stand, empowered through his Spirit. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Realize the spiritual battle. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Realize this. God rising, the empty tomb. We have an ability to stand. Our let God arise has quite a different meaning when we are coming from the resurrection power of our King. Stand therefore, there's the stand again, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Not one, not a few, all. But are you armed up? Are you standing? Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Realize the victory of victories in the battle took place at the cross. And when we now are in battle, we're coming from that place. The victory we're seeing in Psalm 68 that they're talking about, it's temporary. Israel is going to have more problems. We know this. But at the cross, guess what it is? It's eternal. It's forever. It is finished. Judgment done, wrath done, all of it finished. So we see where he starts there. Because of all of this now, look what takes place in verse 4. Because God gets rid of all the enemies. He handles. He's the judge. A friendly reminder, you don't have to handle it. Okay? Let's just remind ourselves. Lord's like, hey, remind them. You don't have to handle it. Don't let your flesh come up. That's why I have to tell myself, don't go Long Island. If you ever come like that, don't go. What did you say? What? Don't go there. Just settle down and let the Lord take care of it. You don't have to do it. Let the Lord take care of it. He's in control. Fix your eyes on him. And then look what happens when you remember who did the battle, who took it all. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Raise your hand if you don't sing on Sunday morning. But truly, sing to God. Sing praises to his name. That's why I say, sing. Wake up tomorrow and sing as loud as you can in the face of your spouse or call someone or whatever. Sing as loud as you can. Sing praise to the Lord. Truly. Because that's, we're called to do it, right? We're called to do this. So we see here, sing to God, sing praises to his name. And his name, because we're focusing again, the name in Jewish culture, it's about the character, it's about the essence, it's about the nature, it's not just the name. There is power in the name of Jesus. That's why we sing the name. Then we see here, extol him who rides on the clouds. Extol, this is lift up. Lift him up who rides on the clouds. Interesting thing. The Canaanites, Baal, guess what they would call him? The one who rides on the clouds. And the Lord God Almighty in this says, no, there's only one who rides on the clouds. The Lord God Almighty. By his name, Yah, short for the covenant name, God's personal covenant name, and rejoice before him. This is an interesting thing. If you think about this idea, because we see rejoice throughout scripture, but notice what we see here. And rejoice before him, which means a surrender and an entering into the presence of God. Do you enter into the presence of God in your worship and praise? What do you mean? Do you let yourself give all of your attention, all of your focus to the Lord God Almighty? Do you fix the posture of your heart to Him? Do you put the smartphone away so it doesn't ding and you grab it? Sing praises by His name, Yah, and rejoice before Him. Realize when with this name, the covenant name, God's personal covenant name, it's a sense of intimacy. And at the same time, simultaneously, reverence. It's the two married together, intimacy and reverence put together. Where are you with His name? I was sharing with someone, I said, I'm becoming a curmudgeon because I'm like, don't say OMG, don't use His name in any way but praise and honor. And I ask you, Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill, get on each other over that. Because it crushes me where you hear people of God, even in the sanctuary after service, oh my, no. Revere the Lord God Almighty. This is the God of creation. We can't be flippant with things. We can't just take things lightly, I believe. Revere the name of the Lord God Almighty. We have to have a healthy reverence and realize His name gives us intimacy with Him. Let that set in, saints. His name is a bridge to intimacy, but we also need to revere, for He is God, we are not. And then do you rejoice before Him? Dance for God, sing to God, rejoice before Him. So when we look at these first four verses, we see the victory had through God, this victory that takes place. And we know through the resurrection, the ultimate victory, the most important battle is the spiritual battle won at the cross through Jesus Christ. Amen? And in both cases, guess what? It's a depth of the love of God. Because what we see here is His love for the people of Israel. And we're going to see as they go through the wilderness, all of this, His love stays steadfast. Even when we're faithless, He remains what? Faithful. He can't deny Himself. That's the Lord God Almighty. And then as we go on, look at verse 5. A father of the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God in His holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. So look at verse 5. So we go through this whole victorious thing where it's all about the victorious battle, right? The victorious battle that takes place. And then look at how He tends to the defenseless. A father of the fatherless. A defender of widows. Don't have a dad? You got a dad in the Lord. Widow, you've got a defender coming there. This is where we start to be reminded in this hymn of praise. God cares about the individual. If you've got hurt from your father, your earthly father, your heavenly Father is perfect. Dad's in the room, granddad's in the room, we're going to mess up. Model repentance when you do and point them towards the perfect Father. Do you remember God is your Father? Do you remember God is your Father? Do you give time to Him? Do you obey Him? Do you seek to know Him more? When He said, let all the little children come unto me, there's a great reminder for us. Be like that little kid. I just want to sit in your lap, Dad. I just want to be with you. Read me a story. Do you remember He's your Father? Do you remember He's your spouse? He is the one that gets all your love. If you're broken, if you're everything, do you realize God alone heals and tends the void? You could be having rough relationship, rough whatever. God alone's the one who heals the void. No one else can. And we're reminded of that intimate love He has, and that's who He is in what? His holy habitation. Right now, David shifts to hit the wonders and mercies of God. You know, sometimes when we think of the wonders and mercies of God, our culture's made it too much. It's got to be a show. I want to see something special. The wonder and mercy is the person who becomes a believer and can forgive the earthly father who failed them day in and day out. That's a wonder. That's mercy. That's the power of God. So we gotta live in that place a little bit. God isn't just floating up. He meets us. He's intimate with each and every single one. He tends to the individual. But the thing you've got to ask yourself, do you let God fill the hurt and void? What do you let fill the hurt and void? Whatever, and this is hitting relational hurt. And it's something we've got to talk about in the Bride of Christ, because we're not going to sit here and pretend everything's picture perfect with every single person here. Fake news. We've all got hurt somewhere. Who are you letting minister to it? It shouldn't be your cell phone. It shouldn't be Google. It shouldn't be anything. It should be the Lord God Almighty, because he tends to the individual. And he's the one who had the victory on the cross. He's the only one that's going to give you the victory of it. Look back to his name, his character, his nature. Does that mean like a magic wand, everything's going to be perfect? No, but your countenance will shift. No human, no vice, no thing, nothing can take the place of God. And we got to remember that, saints. We've got to remember that. Verse 6, God sets the solitary in families. Look at that. God sets the solitary in families. You're alone. He puts that, there's families. And the Bride of Christ, that's a family. When you look at this, ask yourself, people who have homes, families, are you open to the singles in this church? Are you there for them to partake in fellowship with you? So that they have people to look to, they have family to observe that's rooted in the Lord God Almighty. That's why we talk about family worship. We did the Families for Christ series. And all these different pieces to remind, you've got to have your house in order. Because it's not just about you. It's about glorifying the Lord, serving him, and it's about the body of believers. We support one another. And if you're single, do you just come in and out or leave, or you're not married yet, and it's like, okay, let me get out of here as fast as I can, or do you seek that fellowship? It takes vulnerability. But that's why we're in the Bride of Christ together. That's why there can't be cliques in the Bride of Christ. There can't be. We're one body. One body. What's the love of these believers here beyond these doors? Does God get all of you? Does he get all of you? Are you willing? Whatever he desires, use me, Lord. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Now, this is interesting because this is one... I saw something wacky with this verse. He brings out the bound in prosperity that was all about how you're going to prosper and all this crazy stuff. And you know how I feel about that. I said feel. Sorry, Quinn. But we don't go to this place of looking at, he brings those who are bound into prosperity. Saints, our riches are eternal. Do you get that? We lay our treasures up in heaven. Our prosperity is eternal. So when we look at this, there's an application for all of us of being content. As we see Paul, but whatever state I'm in, abundant or bare, I'm content. Because Jesus is enough. Is he enough for you or not? And those in rebellion, guess what? They're in a dry land. God guides, God provides. God guides, God provides. Now you could say, okay, well, this person doesn't live for the reward and look at all the things they have. I'm going to tell you a little secret. When they die, it stays. Doesn't go with them. And the eternal treasures is going to be the lake of fire if they haven't surrendered to Jesus. Not quite pleasant. Our prosperity is in Jesus. Learn that. Love that. Oh God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, Selah. You, God, went out before. You, God, marched through the wilderness, then Selah. Guess what this is? Ponder the victory. Ponder that he individually cares with you. Ponder, pause and think about the fact God is with you. God's presence. This hits right now. God's presence and God's care for Israel. And when you think of Genesis 12:3 and all the blessings through the nation of Israel, there's another, we have the word of God as one of those blessings. And boy, the depth of what we get to see of God's love when you think of the people of Israel in the wilderness, we're going to explore it more next week in the psalm. He stayed faithful in spite of them. He didn't change his character or nature. That's who he is. If we think about what we have as the bride of Christ, Matthew 28, the Great Commission, which we're all called to, when we see this, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. What takes place in John 20 when Jesus says what? Receive my spirit. He's in us through the Holy Spirit. Saints, when you think about praising the Lord, when you think about all he's done, do you remember, do you ponder, do you praise? He's in us. The Lord God Almighty in us. What is worth standing in the way of cherishing that intimacy? Nothing. Nothing's more important than cherishing that intimacy. Yet we put so many things before it. Often, those things stem from feelings. Now don't think, you know, we need to have feelings. We need to have feelings. Stop dashing feelings, Pastor Vince. We're all going to have feelings. There, you happy I said it? But here's the scoop. What do you do with them? Do you sit and wallow in them? Do you get all angry? Do you make rash decisions that are the works of the flesh, not the fruit of the Spirit? What do you do with those feelings? Saints, living for Jesus isn't about feelings. It's about will. You must will and say, I will surrender to you, Lord Jesus. I will choose joy in this moment. I will look to the character and nature of the Lord God Almighty. And in it, you can say, Lord, I feel angry. I'm frustrated. I'm upset. Take it to God. Because when you take it to him, his spirit will bring scripture to remembrance. His spirit will minister to you and speak to you, and he can usher in the healing. Because he's the only one that can do it. Who's the one who led them in the wilderness? Who's the one who can have the enemies be scattered? And sometimes the greatest enemy, pick up a mirror, is ourselves, our minds. The things you start to say, the things you start to think, all those things, you gotta surrender it to him. So I get, as we look at Psalm 68, I get why many scholars are like, where do you begin with this? I want to offer a place that we begin with this psalm as we continue journeying in it. Awe. Awe. That's where you start. Awe. When you think of the Lord God Almighty creating the heavens and earth, his love for the people of Israel, that is a love that they did nothing to. There's nothing special that they did to get it. We could go there. But he loves. And then that love gets applied to us as us being grafted in. Oh. You look at his love for Israel. You look at his love for all. You look at his guide, care, and protection for Israel. And you look at the guide, care, and protection he has for us grafted in. You look at the victory through Jesus on the cross. You look at the desire he has for all to know him. 2 Peter 3:9. He wants all to come. You look at his love for the individual, a father to the fatherless. And you remember he's faithful. You remember he's with us. My favorite hymn is Great is Thy Faithfulness. It's my favorite hymn. And I want to just read the words. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There's no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Needed, emphasis on needed in our me culture. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer, winter, springtime, and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness. Witnessing what? His great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Pardon for sin, pardon for sin, each sin, past, present, future, and a peace that endureth. The peace of God is the only peace that lasts forever. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. His presence cheering and guiding. Holy Spirit in you, scriptures coming to remembrance, cheering. Doesn't mean there's not going to be times that are hard. Don't conflate what I'm saying, y'all. It's going to be hard. We're going to be persecuted. You're going to have hardship. Go to Jesus. Let him encourage you. Let him guide you. Let him cheer you on. And then notice strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. His faithfulness. And this comes out of Lamentations. It's a moment of sin, rebellion, despair, judgment allowed. And he's still faithful. His faithfulness does not change. Charge for the week. Ponder the faithfulness of God. Praise the faithfulness of God. Ponder the faithfulness of God. Praise the faithfulness of God. And stew on these first verses that we got to look at and go through them, pray through them, and take that Selah, verse 7, where we stopped. Good spot that we stopped. Take that Selah and take it in prayer. Take it to our King. Because it, you look at everything we see going on. You look at the world. You look at culture. There's one hope. Jesus. There's one answer, Jesus. We had to pray through the election. Yes, praise the Lord. We saw somebody win who can stand for Christian values. Look at who we picked for leading Department of Religion, Paula Wackadoo. He's not the Savior. There's one Savior, Jesus. We can't put our faith in man. We've got to put our faith in the only one who's faithful, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the bride of Christ has to desire Christ alone. The bride of Christ has to preach Christ alone. The bride of Christ has to live for Christ alone. That's hard. How do I do that? Ponder his faithfulness. Praise his faithfulness. Because when you're doing that, guess what you do? Eyes are off of you. Doesn't matter now what you think or what you feel. Ponder his faithfulness, praise his faithfulness. And then when you want a third part, Holy Spirit, fill me and give me the boldness. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much, Lord, for the faithful God you are. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness of our sins. Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. Lord, we praise you. And Lord, we are in awe of who you are. We are in awe. Lord, I think of that song, and I stand in awe of you. Lord, help us to stand in awe of you. Help us to praise the faithful God we serve. Lord, let us see your faithfulness in your word. And let us see and remember the faithfulness in our individual lives, Lord. And Father, boy, do we see your faithful love on the cross. Lord, fill us with your Spirit to empower us to live for you. And Father, you know the hurt, you know the broken, you know what's going on with each person here. Minister, Lord, as only you can. And Father, if one needs prayer, may they get that prayer before they leave this place. Please, Lord. For Father, sometimes we need our brothers and sisters to lift us, to hold us. Does anybody need prayer? Is Stand up if you need prayer. I'll pray, but stand up if you need prayer. Anybody else need prayer tonight? The Lord's nudging some folks need prayer. So stand up if you're needing prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Father, you see your saints before you, Lord. And Father, you know the details of what's going on in each situation, Father. And that's how good you are. We don't even need to know the details because you do, Lord. But we lift it to you, Jesus. Father, the bondage, the chains, break it, Lord. Where there needs to be forgiveness, Lord, soften their hearts to forgive. Please, Jesus. Lord, where there needs to be restoration, usher it in. Father, help our brothers and sisters that are standing asking for prayer to look to the faithfulness of God. Lord, I ask, help them to remember the moment they surrendered unto you and you forgave them and wrote their name in the book of life. Lord, that they would remember that moment and surrender whatever needs to be cast forth at the foot of the cross. Lord Jesus, to be who you need them to be for your glory, Lord. Please, Heavenly Father. Please, Lord Jesus. Usher in your healing and minister to our brothers and sisters, Father God. And Lord, for all of us, just help us to be surrendered unto you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Let's stand. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. Lord, prepare us. Lord, the prayer of this body, have your way. Have your way in and through each precious person that calls this church home. That, Lord, you could collectively have your way in and through Calvary Chapel of Chapel Hill. Lord, have your way in India with Pastor David and Dan. Lord, have your way when Pastor Jeff goes to the men's conference. Have your way with me at the Peace of God conference. Have your way with Paul as he shares on May 4th. Have your way, Lord, and be glorified. In the powerful, victorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray all this. And all God's people said, amen. Have a good night.